What's up, guys? It's Murph. Before we get to our regularly scheduled program and, you know, ACHA and AAU college hockey previews, just want to take a second to kind of walk you through the last couple of days in the hockey world. On Wednesday night, we recorded this week's episode, talked to the guys at Louisville in preparation for this upcoming season. And then on Friday morning, just like the rest of the hockey world, we woke up to the news that Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew Gaudreau had been struck by a suspected drunk driver in New Jersey on their bikes on the side of the road. Just like the rest of the hockey world, just complete and utter shock, sending our thoughts and prayers to the Gaudreau family. But, you know, waking up on Friday morning and hearing that news, it just didn't feel right to release this week's episode. So we wanted to give it a couple days and, you know, come on here and just, you know, spread the message and echo that our thoughts and prayers are with the Gaudreau family, the hockey community, the fans in Columbus, and the fans in Calgary, the BC hockey community. It is just a devastating loss to great men, the families. It's been a really, really tough day for the hockey community. And so before we get started here, we just wanted to use our platform to serve as a reminder that, you know, call an Uber. It's not worth getting behind the wheel after a couple of beverages. Call an Uber, call Lyft, do what you need to do. Get a designated driver. Okay. It is not worth losing the life of people who are doing nothing wrong. I know it's not the best way to word that, but the hockey community is in shock because of the selfless actions of one individual. And those actions could have been avoided if they had gone through the proper channels and, you know, just call the ride. So appreciate, you know, you guys waiting for the new episode, and we'll turn it over to this week's episode now. Welcome back to the Hockey House Pod, episode 145, presented by our friends at Selly Hockey Co. I'm your host, Mackenzie Murphy, as we bring you the final update of the ACHA and AAU college hockey offseason. September is just around the corner, and as we'll get to it in a little bit, we got some games this weekend. So college hockey is in the air. College football is in the air. Guys are heading back to campus. We're doing media days now. Training camp is in full swing. It's an exciting time of year. Not for us, though. The four of us passed our college days. Colin's graduating in the spring, so we've all got our best ACHA days behind us. But we'll throw it over to Colin's first because you weren't here last week. How are things going?
Things are going good. Just been chilling here. I went to Atlantic City 2 weeks ago, which was a lot of fun. Got to see Illenium and some money taken from me at Harris Casino. Been waiting on jobs and just keep applying. I think I'm going to just pick up a part-time job working at like the Under Armour store or Lululemon or whatever. Just keep myself busy because I feel like I'm slowly losing my mind over here. Yeah, looking forward to things and hoping something's going to happen soon. And also excited to go to Ocean City, Maryland this weekend and just kick back and enjoy Labor Day.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend upon us as well. I mean, you got to think when you're looking for a part-time job, you're looking at the employee discounts, right? Like I assume Under Armour, Lululemon, those are two places that you'd be hitting the jackpot.
Yeah, definitely. Lululemon more so than Under Armour. Under Armour, you got to keep the hockey base layer supply coming. That stuff always gets gross. And, you know, it feels like every season you got to get a new shirt before the one from that season is just completely destroyed.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the process of getting new skates. And just the thought of going into a store, whether it be a Pure Hockey or a Hockey Monkey, and wearing my skate socks in public and having people see the socks, the Bauer socks with six holes in each one. The thought of somebody seeing that in a store is making me cringe. And that's kind of deterring me from going and getting my skates. But I need to add that to my checklist. Somebody who is, you know, in peak men's league form right now in the playoffs. He's missed a couple episodes. He's got a game tonight. So we got to wrap things up quickly at the end here, but we'll throw it over to Fitzy.
Yeah, the men's league playoffs are in full swing. It's crazy. You're saying Labor Day's upon us. I didn't even realize how quick things are going here. But yeah, I guess I am kind of wrapping up the summer activities. Went to a concert with the family the other day. We saw the bands Foreigner and Styx, so that was fun. Haven't been doing much. I am putting together a little, call it a retirement hockey video, I guess you could call it. Taking a while to curate all the clips and whatnot, but it's nothing crazy, but putting the finishing touches on it, so that should be out soon. So yeah,
and we'll throw it over to executive producer David Herman. Herm, how are things going in New York?
Things are wonderful. Approaching my first Millie TikTok on open ice. Posted a Sidney Crosby one that's really hitting right now. Very happy with the performance, how I'm settling in, and how things are going. Probably going to be spending a whole bunch of time down in Breezy Point over the next month, just getting to enjoy the beach and working remotely. So things are going great.
I feel like we have less to talk about, Herm. We had so much catching up to do after our weekend in New York together. And now it's like, Wait, what did we do last week? Quiet one here. I'm pumped. Fall around the corner. I hate saying goodbye to summer, but you know it's a good sign when you roll into the local Starbucks and they got the pumpkin spice cold brew and lattes going. Just the smell of that will get you ready for fall and getting back into hockey season. So I was pumped about that. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, we do have ACHA hockey this weekend. Went on the ACHA website and the AAU college hockey website. AAU is still uploading their schedule. So if there is a game this weekend, not on our radar, we did see though there is some ACHA action. Northern Illinois is hosting Bradley, so we have an M1 team and NIU hosting Bradley, an M2 team, for a two-game set at Canlan Sports in West Dundee, Illinois. They got a Friday night matchup at 7:30 and a Saturday night tilt at 5 p.m. But I looked at both teams' social medias. The fact that there's a schedule poster and both teams have this game listed for August is unbelievable. The fact that there's a schedule that says August 30th and August 31st, and you got this match. I think it'll be a good one. Technically an exhibition because you get ACHA M1 versus ACHA M2. Hopefully we can get some cool highlights out of that one. That'll be a good one. Herm, I know we're collecting games for game of the week. Anything spark you right from the top? Is there any big games next weekend that we have to look forward to?
We've got the University of North Carolina taking the University of South Carolina, and then Kentucky against Colorado to kick off their season. Should be a solid one.
It's always cool. Again, if you have a big tilt coming up for your team to open up the season, shoot us a DM. More than happy to add it to our schedule. We'll get the game of the week graphic probably fired up next week as well. So stuff to look forward to, but best of luck to NIU and Bradley this weekend kicking things off. This will be kind of our season preview episode. I mean, we'll get back into the routine of going every week here as we get into the season, but we wanted to try something new this year. So in the second half of the show here, after our interview with the guys from Louisville, we're going to do our club hockey bingo boards for the 2024-2025 season, kind of celebrate hockey season kicking into full swing here. So we're going to do a snake draft with the four of us here, and we're each going to fill a bingo board, a 3x3 bingo board, 9 spots here with some of our predictions for the upcoming season here. Taking a page out of Pardon My Take and the Mount Rushmore snake drafts here. They're wrapping up that season, but we'll do our version of the club hockey bingo cards here, and looking forward to doing that in the second half of the show. Should be some pretty entertaining stuff. Some guesses on what will happen in the wild world of ACHA and AAU college hockey. Things got even wilder though this week with the Oswego Lakers making a splash in the newest M1 conference. The ACCHL announced on Wednesday afternoon that Oswego State will be the 9th member of the new ACHA M1 conference, set to begin play in 2025-26. Oswego has been competing in the NECHL, where they most recently won the 2024 conference playoff championship on home ice. The Lakers become the first school to join this new ACCHL conference that also fields an NCAA team and the first Division III school. So some interesting notes that people made on social media when this ACCHL conference was announced with the four original teams. You had Louisville, you had UNC, NC State, and Alabama. The push was to get Power 5 schools that didn't have NCAA hockey. And then you have Syracuse, Pitt, Stony Brook, and Delaware. You add those teams and then it's like, yeah, you know, Stony Brook and Delaware aren't Power 5 schools, but they have really good ACHA tradition. And now they're adding in Oswego. So another team in the North here to add to this conference. Some rumblings of a couple other teams in the North being added yet, but nothing official. Herm, I'll throw it over to you first because you've seen what Travis Hyde has been able to do since he took over as head coach at Oswego. He came over from Ohio, took over for Chris Timmons, who went to Syracuse. The Oswego has been on the upward trend for a while now since COVID and making another splash here joining this new conference.
I'm going to hold my prediction because maybe that factors into my bingo board a little bit later.
Predictions aside, though, anything with Oswego and the upward trend here? I know maybe a team people weren't expecting to see in this new conference.
Yeah, it definitely feels a little bit out of place just from a logo and brand recognition standpoint. I look at a school like Louisville, I look at a school like Syracuse that are a little bit more nationally recognized of like a man on the street thing, like you show them their logo and you know what it is. I think it kind of disrupts that aesthetic that the conference was going for, but I understand that out of the ashes of the Eshel, something needed to happen and Oswego needed to go somewhere.
Yeah, I think certainly skill-wise, they're right there. I mean, Oswego coming off a Nationals appearance where they upset their former conference rival Niagara in the first round of the ACHA tournament. Again, on the upward trend here, and looking forward to. It'll be interesting to see. We talked about it a couple episodes ago, what happens to the ESCHL and now certainly the NECHL with a team like Oswego leaving. Plenty of new jerseys. We expect that this time of year as teams get back on campus. Handful of teams dropped new uniform sets. This one was really cool. Lewis University pays tribute to their on-campus runway. Honestly, one of the most creative original jersey designs I've seen since we started covering the ACHA like this. Lewis University is home to the Lewis University Airport, an on-campus airport located 20 miles southwest of Chicago in the village of Romeoville. The stripes on the waist and the arms actually mimic the runway design. And they have a road black, a home white, and they threw in a red alternate with the script, kind of a vintage vibe here. But Fitz, this is right up in your alley here. I love when teams do something creative that kind of pays tribute to something on campus. Maybe this is, I feel like sometimes teams go this route with the alternate jerseys, but pretty cool to see Lewis, you know, take advantage of the creativity on the home and the way.
I love the jerseys. I think if more teams would do stuff like this, it'd be really cool. It's kind of like the City Connect jerseys in a way. The one I thought of immediately was the Purdue jersey last year that did well in the jersey bracket with the train tracks and whatnot. But yeah, I thought the jersey was sick.
Most schools have like that one building with the silhouette, and the store has the Patagonia Skyline logo t-shirt. I mean, a runway is very unique and it really lends itself well to jersey design. I mean, not to mention too, they have a super sick logo. So really unique, really creative. And I love it. I would love to get my hands on one of these things. The building silhouette doesn't really work well for jersey design because it just feels clunky, but this is just super streamlined and really well done.
Yeah, I let the boys at Embry-Riddle know that the ball is in their court. We're going to need to see a Daytona runway design here for the Eagles pretty soon, and maybe something City Connect-ish. Had a couple other teams soft launch jersey sets. Like, they didn't really reveal them or post photos. You know, we saw some behind the scenes from Media Day that give us an idea of what they're going with. First one I noticed was Kent State. They soft launch a new home and away set inspired by the Team USA 1960 jerseys that we see every year at the World Juniors. Looks a lot like the Syracuse SYR jersey that dropped a couple years ago. They did the TikTok trend, very mindful, very demure. I looked at the Kent State, the Navy one, and I was like, oh boy, like that one looks a lot like the Cuse Navy jersey. So maybe the Kent State boys were big fans of the diagonal acronym jersey when Cuse made the trip to Kent State last year. But I think the home white set looks really cool too. It's got KSU down diagonally. And then another one we had was Loyola Marymount, LMU out in California. They went with a red version of the black alternate that they dropped last year. Now we're really getting into the jersey talk. They are also celebrating 20 years of LMU hockey, doing so with a 20th anniversary logo that looks pretty familiar to an NHL team from a couple years ago. So we got to give the boys a hard time about that one. Thoughts about the jerseys, Herm? I think the LMU ones are great, a great addition to what the black ones that were pretty successful last year, and then Kent State going with a familiar look.
There's another team that you're forgetting too in Saginaw Valley State.
That's right. Off-white alternates, right?
Yeah, Bailey sent us a sneak peek of those designs, and the boys walked into the locker room and got a full look at those. Good look for the boys in Michigan.
Can't go wrong with the script alternate here. So Fitz, your boys at IU, they got to ring in the new season with their national championship rings. It was really cool to see Coach Weiss back in town to celebrate with the boys. He's obviously back in Dubuque in the USHL with the Fighting Saints. But Fitzy, did you ever in your lifetime think that you'd be looking at photos of an IU national championship ACHA ring?
It's pretty special. The one thing I kept thinking of, and I don't know if anyone here knows the answer, you win the championship, is that where's the money coming from to pay for the rings? Is it the school helping out as a club hockey team? How does that work out? I don't know.
When I won the state championship in high school, we won it my junior year. And if you wanted a ring, they just tacked it on to your fundraising for the following year. So I think, you know, we had to raise like $800 for the high school season, and they added whatever, how much the ring costs to your fundraising total. So most kids just fundraise for it and they were doing it. If you were a senior on that team, you graduated, you had to basically like just pay straight up for the rings. Not like these pro teams that are getting handed rings when they win the championship. At the end of the day, someone's got to pay for them. So we'll have to bug the IU guys and see where they got the money for these things. But someone who didn't have to pay for their new bling is the boys at Liberty. They were surprised once again with the new gear package for the upcoming season. They got two pairs of Nikes. They got the workout hat, the Jordan apparel, the athletic tees, the dry fit hoodies. We shared the video of this last year and people were going crazy for it because it's like one of the few club teams that gets to come back into the locker room during practice and see this care package waiting for him. But I know they did the Jordan merch last year, and I know we're seeing the Jordan merch on college football team uniforms and other college sports here, but there's just something that rubs me the wrong way about seeing a Jordan dry fit that says Liberty Hockey. Collins, what are you, I know we were talking about apparel at the top of the show here, but what are your thoughts on some of that swag?
I thought last year they knocked it out of the park. I liked a lot of the baby blue. I'm a sucker for baby blue. I'm under like the firm belief if you're not a Jordan school, you shouldn't be wearing Jordan merch, because they are technically two separate brand entities. You can't help but feel jealous. But yeah, super psyched for them. A really good look for the ACHA and AAU as a whole, and really shows that there are programs out there that take this stuff seriously, just from a brand building perspective and kind of cementing the league as more than just club.
I got to get in touch with somebody at Liberty, because we got to hook them up with better hats. I saw the dry fit with the retro logo, but we could cook something up in the Selly Hockey Lab that does better than this. I mean, that Liberty script logo is just dying to be thrown on a vintage snapback. Fighting Flame logo too would look really good. They got to hook the boys up with a team order for this upcoming season. And speaking of Selly Hockey and team orders, was actually doing a shoot the other day at Merrimack College. We got some Merrimack College hats in the bookstore coming up pretty soon here. So we were over there doing a shoot, and we're filming the shoot. And sure enough, the ACHA guys are on the ice doing captain's practice. And we had guys out there rocking visors in captain's practice. What a power move for the guys at Merrimack. So we'll have to get them a couple of these extra Selly Hockey hats here. And of course, if your team is looking to up your game for the upcoming season, if you want to have a snazzy gear drop like the boys at Liberty, make sure you're heading over to sellyhockeyco.com and you're checking out the team order selections and getting things in the works for this upcoming season. So, you know, you guys are looking good by Christmas, because that is the hardest challenge in club hockey, is getting the apparel in time, let alone first game, but first semester. I mean, you want that stuff in by the time Christmas break rolls around, so you can head back to your hometown and look good when you're walking around in the grocery store and everybody knows, hey, this guy plays college hockey. So again, get in your team apparel orders early this year, so you're not looking like a bum on Christmas break with no team backpack.
Yeah, that's the only reason you play college hockey, so you can come back home and tell people you play college hockey.
Exactly. And the boys at Purdue want to keep telling people they play college hockey, because they put out a little teaser on Tuesday. It looks like they're exploring maybe the possibility of adding a rink in Lafayette. There was a screenshot of a presentation title that said Purdue Lafayette Hockey Rink Project. So somebody is working on something in the background. Maybe the interest for Big Ten hockey is clearly there, and Purdue throwing their name in the mix there. Maybe if they end up putting plans forward for a rink. Want to give some stick taps this week. We're starting off with UNCW alum signed in Finland. Chris McGrath is heading over there on a pro contract with Rai Kiko of the Suomi Sarha. I'm probably not saying that right, but I got to touch up on my Swedish here. Not my Swedish, of course, my Finnish. All Swedish, no Finnish here on this podcast. Played two seasons of NCAA Division III hockey at Wilkes University before transferring to UNCW. He played three seasons for the Seahawks at the ACHA M2 level. He served as captain the last two seasons, put up 36 points in 29 games in his final year. Also, former Niagara ACHA player signed an ECHL tryout contract. Best of luck to former Niagara M1 forward Devin Sanders. The Niagara Falls, Ontario native signed a tryout contract with the Jacksonville Icemen of the ECHL. He registered 77 points over two seasons with Niagara's M1 team, 36 goals in 41 games. Guessing this is a guy who's going to be buzzing around. Fitzy, we had a little conversation last week, but you know, guys don't realize how hard it is to make an ECHL team off of a tryout because of the guys that filter down from the AHL who are maybe linked to a contract with the NHL team up above. So we're sending best of luck to these troops down in the trenches of the ECHL, grinding it out for these tryout contracts. Another guy we got to give a shout out to, friend of the pod, Lucas Prestamo. We talked about the Amerigold LATAM Cup last week, gave a couple shout outs to guys playing in it. Completely forgot one of my best friends at Syracuse, Lucas Prestamo, was playing. Former Syracuse M1 captain Lucas Prestamo scored the overtime winner in the semifinals to lead Cuba past the defending champs, Argentina. Cuba then went on to defeat the Greek Heritage team 4-3 in the finals. Herm, I saw a BR Open Ice post today. It looks like on Pakistan, there was a George Mason player repping the team gear. Got to give some stick taps to Pakistan as the first ever national team representing Pakistan at the LATAM AmeriGold Cup. So a wonderful event that it was once again put on at the Florida Panthers practice facility. So, I mean, that's an event we're going to have to get down to at some point. A lot of ACHA and AAU college hockey guys playing in that one. And then we also want to give some stick taps to former Lindenwood ACHA head coach and Lindenwood NCAA head coach Rick Zombo, who was inducted into the St. Louis Amateur Hockey Hall of Fame. It's a great honor bestowed on Rick, and we couldn't be happier for him, said Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics Jason Coomer. So Zombo played 12 seasons in the NHL and served as the head coach for Lindenwood since 2010. This upcoming season will be his first season not behind the bench for the Lions. Got some portal updates before we break for this week's guest. Former UNH goalie is heading to UNLV, the Northbrook, Illinois. Fitz, a lot of Chicago talk. I'm assuming Northbrook, Illinois, that's got to be another Chicago suburb.
It's like 45 minutes north of the city. Good, a lot of good high school hockey up there.
There we go. And it makes sense because I was reading the press release from UNLV and they said this kid grew up a Hawks fan growing up, was there for the Cups. And, you know, that's how he fell in love with hockey. And why wouldn't you if you were growing up watching Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane and those guys buzz around the ice? But the Northbrook, Illinois native appeared in 4 games in his time at the University of New Hampshire up in my neck of the woods as a member of their NCAA Division I team before kicking off his college career. Foreman spent 27 games with the Corpus Christi Ice Rays in 2019-2020. He posted a .906 save percentage and a 2.7 goals against average. So wishing him the best of luck. His fifth year will be at UNLV. He's getting his master's in sports management. Once again, that's Jeremy Foreman. And then Herm, you got to correct me if I'm wrong here. Maybe we were just giving a double coverage here, but I also had this bookmarked on my personal account, so I maybe missed it on the Hockey House, but we had a transfer from New England College NCAA D3 to Grand Valley State. That is Cameron Hellman, the Michigan native. So he's heading back home. So if we already mentioned that one, we'll give double stick taps to Cameron there. But that's the update from the portal here. Herm, I'll throw it over to you for the hot seat because I think maybe we can use this as an education tool. I don't know if a lot of people know what this is, but certainly something to keep an eye on if you're running your team's social accounts this year.
Yeah, if you're doing a schedule reveal, just make sure you're not using ghost logos. There's a proper way to invert logos when you're using them. Just make sure it's not the wrong way.
Yeah, good tip. Good tip. We can turn the hot seat into a teaching moment here. So always love when we can do that. We got a great interview on hand. The boys from Louisville are joining us. John Cohen, who Herm and I got to know very briefly down in Lexington when we went to see Louisville and Kentucky take on each other. He served as the E-bug in this game, which is a wild story that we didn't find out about until after the fact. And then statistician and team manager Josh Cones is also joining us as well. So we'll get an inside scoop at Louisville's final season in ACHA M2 before they move up in 2025-26 in this new ACCHL conference. We're pleased to be joined by two members of the University of Louisville hockey team, junior defenseman Jonathan Cohen and team manager and statistician Joshua Konis. Josh, am I getting a little closer on that name here? I know I gave it a couple of reps before we got started here.
A little closer, you're getting there. Still better than a lot of people ever do. So
we got 30 to 40 minutes here to get that right by the end, but we'll just go by Shua for now and Cohen now that we've gotten to know you guys a little bit better here. But Cohen, I want to throw it over to you because we did something this offseason that we've never done before. We worked with Rebirth and we did the put the team on the back award. And I just got to ask, like, do you think Shua was a deserving fit? Did the committee maybe get it wrong? Did they overlook some people if he ended up with the award? Or was he pretty deserving of the putting the team on the back title?
I think he was pretty deserving of it. I mean, Josh has been here for us since freshman year, whether it's trips to the ER. He's just learning how to sharpen skates now, which is huge for us, needing something on the back end if something goes wrong during a game and we need something in a pinch. And just honestly being there if, like, we need somebody to talk to and whatnot, I think he's more than deserving of it.
Well, that's what we love to hear. And Josh, again, congratulations. Your teammates said very kind words and I had to give you a hard time right off the jump, but I got to know, what's scarier, hanging out in the ER or sharpening skates?
Sharpening skates. Just want to win and do the best I can to help out the boys. And so when you're in charge of something like that actually has an effect. It's a little intimidating, but just trying to do whatever I can to help out around here.
You're learning how to sharpen skates, but is there anything, you know, management wise you're doing behind the scenes to help the guys get ready for the upcoming season?
Well, right now we're working on getting something set up to reveal our new jerseys that we've got coming out. We're trying to iron out the details of getting that done, finding a place to do a photo shoot for that. And then I'm also right now working on getting us set up with some basic analytics work so we can have just some better stats and better numbers to look at to help out during games and practices and things like that.
We posted about you guys joining the ACCHL. As a media outlet, we're always trying to make sure we're using the proper logos, and we got a hold of this skating cardinal logo. And once we got the PNG file of that, there was no turning back. We've posted on a couple graphics now. People cannot get enough of the skating cardinal logo. I've always said if you're a college hockey team, you need a skating mascot logo. This new jersey, can you maybe give us a teaser? Are we going to see the skating cardinal on this jersey like the home whites?
You are going to see the cardinal on it. The jerseys look sick. We can't wait to get them out on the ice and show them off. They are some beautiful jerseys.
Colin, I know you guys you've worn a couple different jerseys in your time. Do you have a go-to favorite of the jerseys you've worn so far as a Louisville Cardinal?
Yeah, right now, honestly, the one that's like right above me right here, our old black jersey that we're going to be replacing. But besides that, in all honesty, it's kind of a one that not a lot of guys would pick, but our Team Canada style jerseys from my freshman year. Those I really like, especially with like the UofL kind of ghosted in onto the shoulders. It was pretty cool.
Those are like National League quality jerseys. Like they looked like the old Nike template too. So that was a good one. Colin, we'll kind of dive in. Like, walk us through your early hockey career. Like, where'd you grow up playing? And then how did that lead you to Louisville?
So growing up, I played a Wonderland of Ice in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Growing up, playing for the Wonderland Wizards youth hockey organization. Came through like a little bit of a rough patch once my parents divorced. Going between from New Jersey, Connecticut every weekend. So kind of had to play some house hockey there. Things kind of settled down. I wound up being able to play high school hockey in Fairfield, Connecticut, where I went to Fairfield Ward. After that, I went to juniors, played a year for the Meaford Knights in Meaford, Ontario, just north of Toronto. And then I got to play 2 years in Norwalk at home. Coach Graham is very good friends with my coach from the Rough Riders, Eric Lind. And from there was no turning back. Once I got to come out for recruit skate after my age out year with the Rough Riders, I got to meet Graham, and there was no turning back. He came here.
So we meant to ask about him. Coach Graham seems like a great guy. We got to talk to him after we met you guys down in Louisville. What was your first interaction with him?
My first interaction was meeting him after I had interviewed to work for the team. I had played a little bit of hockey growing up in Wisconsin, was admittedly not a great hockey player. You stick with it because you love it. So then when I came down to Louisville for school, I knew they had a team, and it was, well, I could work for them, keep, you know, a foot in the door in hockey, and interviewed, got a position, and then met Graham, and it's been no looking back. I've been here for 3 years. I really can't think of a better coach that I would rather work for than Graham.
He seems like a guy that a lot of coaches around the league respect too. Cohen, is there anything in particular, like, you know, we only saw him in that brief interaction, but what kind of coach is he in the locker room, behind the bench? You know, it really takes a different kind of person to run an ACHA program. So what kind of coach is he?
I think he's a coach that cares. He knows like when to kind of get on our case a little bit if he sees us being a little bit lackadaisical, and then he knows to congratulate us on our success. So he knows how to find that perfect balance between when we're kind of laying back a little bit and then kind of when to push us to go forward when we're on.
And now, is there anything, like, you know, when you were looking at other schools, did you know about the ACHA? Like, what is Graham telling you about playing in the ACHA at Louisville?
I knew a lot about the ACHA, especially with growing up in Connecticut, being near a few ACHA programs themselves. Just for Louisville, I love the atmosphere, especially the rivalry game when we play UK, and just being in the T, it can't compare to it. It's one of the best leagues in the ACHA, in my opinion.
Sure. I know we touched on maybe your introduction with Coach Graham, but what drew you to Louisville? Because you mentioned a little bit of a hockey background in Wisconsin, but, you know, were you thinking about working for the hockey team before being a student, or what are some other things that drew you to the school?
So originally when I was trying to decide where to go, I was looking at a couple schools like Niagara, Xavier, Louisville, just places where I could, first of all, get a good degree in sports administration, but then also still have hockey to watch. Because, I mean, once you get hooked, you're hooked. Then they put out that they were looking for help. And I'm like, well, I need something to do, so we'll give it a shot. We'll apply, and here we are 3 years later, and it's pretty much turned into a full-on off-ice job for me. So
people don't understand it enough, and I know, you know, we're still trying to inform people about the ACHA and club hockey as a whole, you know, especially people wanting to work in sports. I think they look at schools, you know, with big football programs, big basketball programs, big hockey programs, and they're like, I got to go to one of these schools and I got to work here to get a job. But Shua, I'm sure you can attest to it, but like, you don't get a better hands-on experience working in sports than working in club hockey.
Oh, no, there's nothing that beats it. I mean, you get to truly be a part of everything that happens with the team, and you get to share in their success when they win. You share in the crappy moments when you lose or when someone gets hurt. It really turns into a second family, even apart from gaining experience, just having the boys still, having people that you can talk to, live with, are your friends down here. It's amazing.
Cohen, once you get rolling in your ACHA career, is there a welcome to the ACHA moment for you? Was there a first trip in the T maybe? Was it the first game against Kentucky that you played? What's a moment that stands out to you as you're kind of like welcome to the league?
In all honesty, there's a couple of moments. My freshman year is kind of a little bit into the season. We went down for the TSCHL versus ACCHL showcase, and it was at Virginia Tech, if I'm not mistaken. Shua can correct me on that. It was me coming out of the penalty box. We were playing UNC. I was trying to beat the guy down the boards, and I just got pancaked, like absolutely steamrolled. I think I actually have the video of it somewhere in my camera roll too. My first time playing against UK was at home. I think it was the last game trying to play them for the barrel at home, and coming out of that tunnel, seeing about 1,000 to 1,500 people and all your friends just smacking you on the helmet as you're walking onto the ice for warmups. You can't beat that.
Was that the one where Jack Harlow was in attendance?
Yep, that's the one.
I mean, that's got to be pretty cool. Are the boys chattering on the bench like, yo, that's him?
Yeah, there definitely was some chatter for sure.
That's unreal. I mean, we're definitely going to need the footage of that hit against UNC. I'm just going to put that out there.
Was there any kind of interaction with Jack after the game? Did he come up to you guys, say what's up, you know, all that stuff? Or was he just kind of with his group and was on his way?
Unfortunately, he was kind of with his group and on his way. From videos that we saw, we can tell that he really liked the game. Unfortunately, he had to go to another event as well, so he kind of stayed until I think it was about just after like the midway point through the second period, then he had to go to somewhere. But it would have been nice.
Let's kind of talk about that rivalry game with Kentucky, because I think, at least from our perspective, people always hate on us. They're like, all you do is like glaze UNC and glaze Kentucky, and it's like, you look at these programs and like the crowds that they're getting, and it's hard not to. You know, you guys have been right with them for a number of years now, and Cohen, you've got to experience that on the ice. Like, what is it about the rivalry games with Kentucky? Of all places, we have this big ACHA rivalry in Kentucky. What is your favorite part about the rivalry game?
In all honesty, I think it's the physicality. You can't beat that. It turns into that playoff hockey NHL game 7 kind of atmosphere. Even if like you're scratch, which I was for a few games and a couple of games last year against them, everybody's getting into it, everybody's trying to hype themselves up. You're feeding off of the away crowd no matter what when they're trying to do the L's down towards you. And if you score, you do the L's up towards them, and you can't beat that.
I saw it firsthand. Like, do you think the guys are almost more fired up playing on the road in Lexington than they are for the home games because it's like the us versus them mentality?
I kind of think so. It's always fun to go in there and win because we have to deal with it every time we play them. You always hear them talking, running their mouth. And so to be able to have the opportunity to go in there, beat them in their own barn, it's amazing.
And Cohen, from like your perspective, I know I touched on it a little bit, but like the media side of things, like they obviously do a really good job of promoting themselves. You guys are kind of right there with them. And the team like that sometimes gets more of the attention. Does that fire the boys up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the stuff that they put out kind of aggravates the boys a little bit. Like, I know in the locker room, we try to put some photos up here and there to piss us off even more. Gives us the fuel to kind of go in there and try to whoop them a little bit.
It's got to be a pretty unique atmosphere to play in, let alone in the grand scope of things. You got it. Like I mentioned, it's a college hockey game in Kentucky of all places.
Nothing like the battle for the barrel with the bluegrass. I mean, can't beat that.
I mean, you mentioned the bulletin board material. We've been known to accidentally give some teams bulletin board material. Have we ever ended up on there? I know we've said some things in the past about Kentucky, and we want to provide that kind of stuff.
Nothing too bad from you guys. Usually it's just whatever they put out before a game or after a game. You guys have stayed pretty clean through it. We try not to get too involved in any of it.
Not too high, not too low.
I mean, we had a great time going down and just witnessing that. And Cohen, you had a very interesting role that, you know, didn't really get revealed until after the game, you know, what was kind of going on. You mind like walking us through how you ended up being an E-bug in an ACHA game?
Yeah, unfortunately, one of our goalies got a season-ending injury with concussions. So it's unfortunate that we couldn't have him be the backup for that game. Coming down the line, unfortunately, some other guys couldn't play because of grades. And it's going to happen from time to time, you know. And we all got together in the locker room and like, who can play goalie? And I was like, screw it, I'll do it. Nothing wrong with blocking shots. Like I'm used to growing up playing defense. And our goaltending coach, Matt Grizzly, gave me a little bit of a lesson on the edge work, just in case we had to go into a do or die situation. And I had my bag packed with all my player stuff ready to go. Then Grizz came on the bus and said, go get the bag. And I was like, oh no, this is really happening. So it's kind of a very nervous, shaky moment, especially when I'm going on the ice for warmups. I'm like, I'm not taking any shots. This is not happening right now.
Well, and it was funny too, because, you know, that is a very intense atmosphere at the Lexington Ice Center. There's almost so much going on. It's such a tight barn. The wool had been put over our eyes because we never even noticed, like in all of the shenanigans that go on before the game there, like I didn't even think to like, look like, oh, the Louisville goalie is pretty good. Oh, like, oh, what's the backup look like? Like, what were you doing in warmups to maybe make it look like you were a regular goalie?
Honestly, a lot of butterfly stretching. Tape the crap out of my ankles to cover the tendon guard. So I know like people could probably see the player steel holders down there, but if I could hide the tendon guard a little bit, so nobody, in case somebody just happened to look back there, because obviously I don't think Louisville's had a 6 foot something monster in a while. So I tried to hide as best as possible. I was told not to take shots. And then that kind of, we just went from there.
Shua, behind the scenes here, like were the operations staff like being like, are they're actually going to do this? And like, you know, after the game, is there that sigh of relief? Like, hey, wow, like the boys pulled it out. They won the game and we didn't have to throw Cohen in net.
It was kind of surreal going through all of it when we realized we've only got one goalie right now. And what I've been through with the discussions with the coaches, it was, well, he's tall, he can move. It's our best shot we got if we ever have to throw anyone in, and hope to God we don't have to put him in. And when we actually got through it and got to the point where we had two goalies again, it was just this big sigh of relief. Finally, we can get back to kind of running our lineups throughout the night normally and not having to deal with anything too absurd or crazy.
The rivalry is something that sticks out to us about, you know, the culture down there and playing hockey in the Southeast. But some of these big time schools, you know, obviously at Louisville, you guys have football games and, you know, basketball is a big part of the school's culture. But we got to talk about the Kentucky Derby. You know, what is that like being a student in Louisville and going to the Derby? And like, I went to Syracuse and we had Derby days, right? Like everybody turns on the TV and they get dressed up in the outfits and there's the games that go along with it. But Colin, I'll throw it to you first. Like, what is that day like as a student at Louisville?
It is a long but very, very exciting day. I mean, in all honesty, that week leading up to it where we're out of school, everybody can kind of relax. There's a bunch of stuff going on in Louisville as a whole with our recruit weekend kind of starting off, all that stuff kind of leading into the Derby with Thunder over Louisville with like one of the biggest air shows around and a massive fireworks show. Then getting into that Derby Saturday itself, everybody wakes up early, hangs out, breakfast, stuff like that. And then we make, I think it's like a mile and a quarter, mile and a half walk on down to Churchill Downs, which is a lot of fun. And then we get in there and it's just basically a big party from there and hopefully win some money while we're at it.
Did I hear the word recruit in the beginning part of that sentence? Are you guys bringing recruits in so that they can check out, you know, what it's like to be in Louisville?
I mean, yeah, some of them do come down. They decide to commit. They know about the Kentucky Derby and stuff like that. A lot of the families, when they're down here because I know a lot of club teams do their own respective recruit skids just so they can kind of see what guys are all about, which is honestly a nice feature of club hockey where you can do those sorts of things. A lot of parents are like, oh, the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs is down here. Let's go check it out. And then if they really like the school with what they have to see, some more kids come back. Cooper O'Neill, when he committed here, he came back, came with us to Kentucky Derby and loved it.
Shu, is there anything he's missing in terms of Derby days that people listening at home should know about?
I pretty much covered it. It is a very long day. Starts very early, usually pretty hot, pretty humid weather, so it's not the best day. But by the time you get into Churchill, you're sitting with the boys, it turns into one big party, and it's a blast. Like, it is truly a once-in-a-lifetime thing that if you want to go to the coolest sporting events in the world, that's something that you have to have on your bucket list.
Cohen, who's a guy on the team with, like, the most outrageous Derby outfit? Are guys making fashion statements to this?
I think some of them are. Last year, Ty Morgan with the linen shirt was one. Last year I wore a outrageous floral suit. And then honestly, some of the best fits, I'd have to give to Carl Drew with the cowboy boots and cowboy hat every year. Can't beat that.
There we go. We talked about it a little bit at the start of the episode, the news breaking that Oswego State will join the ACCHL in 2025-26. Shua, behind the scenes, have you been a part of any conversations with Coach Graham about this move to the ACCHL and making the jump up to ACHA Division One?
Nothing too in-depth. But that being said, the staff, I know the boys are, and I know we are all, but we're thrilled about this move up. We can't wait to get started. And I know Tim talked about this in his episode a couple weeks ago, but for us to be an ACC team actually playing in the ACCHL, it's huge to have that like name recognition of the ACC. It's something that we're looking forward to a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, as a Syracuse alum, when I found out that they were going to make the jump, it's like, it's perfect, right? You know, you get those ACC schools in the ACCHL. So it's going to be really exciting. NC State, UNC, those are teams that you guys have played before. But what are some things that you're excited about when it comes to, not only the jump up a level to ACHA M1, but a new set of teams that you guys will get to compete against?
Yeah, I'm excited for new competition. Obviously, a lot of faces that we haven't seen before. In all honesty, and just getting to go to new places that we haven't been, like I've never been to Syracuse, never been to Stony Brook, never been to Pitt. So all honesty, just getting to experience new campuses and see what every school has to offer would be enjoyable.
If you guys get the chance to go to Oswego, one, awesome town. Two, one of the best rinks you'll ever play in. It is incredibly nice. You know, probably NCAA D1 quality rink.
We'll go from talking about the good places to play to maybe some of the not so good places to play. If we're talking of places in the T, I mean, there's a lot of barns with some character there. What are some other places that you guys have played that maybe stand out to you, whether it be the ice conditions or the tiny locker rooms or the rabid crowds? Cohen, what are some places that kind of stand out to you in the T?
In all honesty, I want to say maybe IU's rink. It's a little hot in there. Besides that, they do have a great crowd, which kind of fuels us a little bit to play harder. Dayton's rink as well, a little bit. And then the last one, kind of a little bit of the ice conditions, I would say probably, was it Queen City Sportsplex, Josh?
Queen City Sportsplex up in Cincy with Xavier and UC.
It's still a great competition either way. We can't complain.
I would say UC gets a pretty good crowd too. Yeah, I've seen the videos from Dayton of teams skating out for warmups, and there's the fog all over the glass too. So that place seems like a barn.
Yeah, they definitely do have a nice barn though. I mean, fortunately, we haven't experienced that, so I have no complaints over here.
I know you mentioned, you know, the jersey reveal coming up, that you guys are doing that. With the news of, you know, the team making the jump up to the next level, is there anything the operation staff is, you know, going to be doing in this upcoming year to kind of prepare for that jump?
Right now, we're definitely working on expanding our staff, trying to get some more help in. Right now, it's a pretty small operation, like most ACHA and club teams are. So we're just trying to build that. We've got some interns interviews lined up in the coming weeks. Really just grow the staff, get some help with equipment, get some help with SI, sports information, and go from there. Just try to build as we go, get better and better every day.
I know we mentioned this a couple times, but both of you, massive Swiss Army knives for the Louisville program, you know, whether it's sharpening skates or filling in as e-bike, but you know, you signed up for this job to work on the operations side for the hockey team. What is the craziest thing that you've done that maybe you would never imagine doing when you signed up for this gig? And I know we talked about it at the top of the interview, but waiting in the ER with guys and, you know, spending countless hours with guys, going an extra step, but what's something that is crazy looking back on, you're like, wow, I can't believe I did that.
You really did nail it with the trips to the ER. Like, I signed up to do some stats, some analytics, help out in operations. And here we are, I've logged over 60 hours in the ER, taking guys in at 2 p.m, haven't gotten out till 3 a.m. It's a wild ride. You get to experience a lot of, let's just say, interesting things. You know, I wouldn't change it for anything. Be there to help out the boys, do as much as I can to kind of make my mark and help us win and compete.
Cohen, the boys next year are going to have to chip in and get Shua a pair of scrubs. So, you know, if he's going to spend this much time in the ER, he better look the part.
That just might be his Christmas present for me this year, because he's one of my roommates. So might have to be.
That's what we'll get with the skating cardinal, on a nice pair of scrubs. So that way,
we'll just put it on that like little the shirt pocket, I think. We'll just put it right there, and then like right on it, we'll just put Dr. Shua or something like that.
Oh, it's perfect. I mean, that is a secret Santa gift waiting.
Oh, it's got to be.
Looking back on last year, you know, maybe not the ending that you guys would have wanted with the talk of moving to Division One. Is there anything, you know, on the back end that, hey, we need to make sure that we do this next year? Like, we need to make this step as a program. Like, what are some of the team's goals for the upcoming year?
In all honesty, I think this year it's kind of just buying in as a whole. Last year kind of went through our ups and downs, and this year we want to make sure that doesn't happen, which is why we're going to do a little bit more team bonding, We did bring in a really good group of guys. I really like the new guys a lot. They're very kind, hardworking. I've seen a lot of them at the gym every single day, and they come in with a smile on their face and they're ready to work, which is most important.
Get the guys in the gym. They'll get to go to the Derby at the end of the year. Where are maybe some places in Louisville that you guys are trying to take the guys early on here to get them acclimated? Is there a go-to restaurant? Is there a go-to bar? Like, what are the local spots that you're making sure early on that these guys are getting used to going to?
Most of the guys' favorite place is Mama's Barbecue. Can't beat the wings, especially with their own rub that they put on it. And for the guys that are old enough, a couple of our favorite bars are O'Shea's and then the Granville.
There we go. Well, Collins, is there anything we're missing about Louisville? I feel like we've got a pretty good lay of the land here. There we go. Well, hey, boys, we appreciate you coming on such short notice tonight. Is there anything else, you know, maybe we should touch on? Shua, I know you mentioned the jersey reveal at the military base, right? We didn't get a chance to kind of talk through that.
It started last year. We came out with our military appreciation night jerseys against Ohio, and we were just kind of thinking of ways, like, what's a way that we could like publicize this, reveal these, that we've got these new jerseys. The idea popped into my head, like, hey, let's see if we can go to Fort Knox. Let's ask. First thing they say is no. A month later, we've got it set up and we're rolling through the gate at Fort Knox, getting to tour it, go to some pretty cool spots on the base, take some pictures, meet a lot of very nice, very cool people. And then we also got to tour their Patton Museum of Leadership there and take some photos in there. The picture with us in front of the helicopter, that was from the Patton Museum. And it was really just a fun time to meet, I mean, the people that the jerseys were designed for, the military, and just kind of get to know them and show them that we care. I mean, we do.
I mean, they must have thought it was a riot seeing you guys walk around in full hockey gear with the jerseys, right?
We weren't in full gear for it, just the tarps and then kind of our warm-up pants, but got a lot of strange looks just walking around in matching jerseys around a military base. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, hey, best of luck this season, Shua. Hopefully we log less minutes in the ER. Colin, hopefully you don't have to serve as an e-bug again here, and I think if we can do less of those two things, it'll be a pretty good season for the Cards.
Oh, 100%. We're very much looking forward to it. And all honesty, thank you guys for having us. We're more than appreciative.
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys so much for just having us on. This has been something that I know both of us have wanted to do for a while. So thank you.
Thanks, John and Josh, for joining us. Always good to get an inside scoop on Louisville. You know, hear from a program that we've talked about a lot, but never really sat down and interviewed. So it's great to have the guys on. And like we mentioned at the top of the show, for the first time ever, we're going to do club hockey bingo boards for the 2024-25 season. Now, we talked before we hit record, and I gave the instructions a little over 24 hours ago on what we were going to do. But because we've never done this before, and we haven't shared notes, the first round could look a little crazy here, but I think after the first couple rounds, we'll get right back on track. So we'll do a snake draft. I've got the wheel ready to go. Got all four of our names in here. No screen sharing capabilities on Zencast right now, so you guys are going to have to just go with my word. Oh my goodness, that is unfortunate. But I landed on my own name for first, and I'll be the first pick and then the eighth pick of this snake draft. That's good. You know, I can maybe set the tone and let you guys kind of know where we go from here. Second pick here, Collins at two here. And with the third pick, we're going Herm. So the first round, Murph, Collins, Herm, Fitz, and then Fitzy leads us off in the second round, followed by Herm, Collins, and Fitz.
And Murph, not Fitz.
I'll kind of run through the plan here again. Snake draft of things we predict will happen in the 2024-25 ACHA AAU college hockey season. With the first overall pick, 1-1, I'm going to go with a bus breaking down. Happens every year, bound to happen. Don't know if it'll happen, if we'll get one in September, but something that is bound to happen is a bus breaking down. Herm, I hope that kind of sets the tone for what kind of draft this is going to be, but that's my 1-1.
I had at the top of my gimmies board literally written down, bus breaks down, players have to push it.
Yeah, off the board. We'll throw it over to Collins now for pick two.
I was a little bit more specific with my picks, but I do have a couple general ones. With the second pick, I'm going to take UNC goes viral.
Oh, I mean, that's a given. I like that one. You know they're playing in an outdoor game this year, so you know they're going to drop a jersey. I could see that one coming. Herm, over to you for pick three.
Man, we get so many allegations of glaze in our comments already. We're starting this so early. Good Lord. All right, with the third pick in the draft, I'm going with rank malfunction cancels a game.
That's a big one. Fitzy, you got back-to-back picks here. What are you thinking?
We'll go someone scores a Michigan goal.
I had that one on my list.
And then we'll go club hockey in some way is featured on ESPN on the TV or on the social media of SportsCenter ESPN.
I like that. I think we understood the assignment tonight because that was also on my board as well. Collins, what do you have?
That was going to be my next pick, but looks like Fitzy beat us to it.
Fitzy saw the sheet. Herm, back over to you.
A little disappointed that you didn't go with a different media outlet there, but that's okay. No worries.
That would be a little biased. We can't go with BR Open Ice. Be a little biased because you control that outcome.
Yeah, that's your free space, Herm.
I'm going to go with 25 plus goals from one team in a game.
Wow. Herm, did you see my sheet? Did you see my note sheet?
No, I did not. Was that specifically on your sheet?
I had originally written down 25, and then this morning I changed it to 20 because I was like, you know what? Maybe 20 is more realistic, but I love 25. I think it's doable. Collins, back over to you.
I am going to take C-tier celebrity wears jersey on campus.
Springtime, when we get the spring concert series, I mean, that is a given. That's how we get like Young Gravy wearing a Grand Valley State jersey. I think that's a great one. Boys, I have one. I was actually worried when you guys started picking because I was like, oh, they might have this one on here. They've got their head on straight. I'm going to go with student athlete does homework in locker room. It is one of my all-time least favorite social media trends. I'm going to take that one to close out the second round. To open up the third round, I'm going to go a little bit more with like what Fitzy was thinking. I'm going to go feature on NHL Network.
Not bad. My next pick, this is a more end of season pick. Single digit seed gets upset at Natty's.
I mean, after last season, hard not to think that won't happen again.
Can you be a little bit more specific and pick whether it's going to be men's or women's?
I was thinking men's.
M1?
M1, yeah.
Gimme ACHA M3 team beats ACHA M1 team.
Do we have one of those lined up?
I think schedules are still dropping right now, but I'm sure that it's going to happen.
Herm's going to line one up himself right now.
Yeah. I mean, Saginaw loved putting a beat down on Eastern, and you got Saginaw moving up to M1 and no Eastern team this year. So it'll have to be some new faces in that department, but not out of the equation. Fitzy, what do you got here?
All right, we're going to go an ACHA, I guess, or AAU player gets called up to the NCAA team at some point.
I had that one on my list too.
Next one, it's going through our Instagram. I saw a couple games last year went to about 19 rounds on a shootout. So we're going to say that a shootout goes 20 or more rounds this season.
Wow. I also had a shootout one ready to go. The Bama, Illinois one was in double digits last year. And that was a crazy one. Herm, back to you.
I'm going to get a little bit more specific because this isn't going to necessarily cancel a game. It just will disrupt a game. I'm just going to say the glass shatters during a club hockey game.
Yeah, I had broken glass delay.
I had that too. That was going to be my next pick, but I wasn't sure if that fell under rink malfunction. So I was kind of timid to pick it.
I think I specified cancel game. I would imagine that a broken glass is not going to necessarily cancel a game.
It's a good way to think about it. I also, I don't know, Herm, if I was thinking more of like rink is like ice conditions. Rink malfunction makes me think it's like something out of control cancels the game versus like broken glass happens because of the game. I don't know if that helps Collins decipher something.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah. I'm going to get also kind of specific here. This is going to involve two teams, but I'm going to have Minot upsetting University of Saskatchewan.
There we go. I mean, that's a prediction right there. And that one's coming up to start the season. The Beavers making the trip up to Canada to get some couple of exhibition games in, and they did pretty well last year, Jamestown as well. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that one.
It's going
to
be a tough one, though. That's a U Sports team chock full of guys out of the OHL and WHL. Their leading goal scorer last year played in the Coast and the SB and then went to college after.
Got a couple of these on the radar. Not making a prediction on this one, but I know we got Niagara playing Cortland this year. I think this is the year. Didn't get one last year, but I think this is the year we get ACHA team beats NCAA Division III team. For my next pick, this one is kind of niche, but I think we're always good for one. I'm going to get a game day graphic with spelling error. I think back to Herm, where were we when we saw Minot State put out a graphic that said meat day? Like they had copy and pasted the track and field game day graphic and it was the hockey team, whether it's, you know, game day getting misspelled or the opponent's name getting misspelled. So many graphics going out there for ACHA and AAU teams. It's bound to happen. back over to Collins.
Yeah, I would be lying if I said I didn't accidentally put out a graphic with, you know, like two letters by accident, sticky keyboard, whatever. In my defense, no proofread in Photoshop with text, so can't fault you on that. I'm going to say Team USA reaches the finals at the World University Games. I don't see them beating Team Canada. You know, on home soil, they lost 7-2 to Canada, the D3 guys versus the U Sports guys. So we'll see, but, you know, fingers crossed them making the finals.
No, that's an outside-the-box pick. Hadn't even considered that.
I cannot believe that as a goalie, Collins has not gone this direction. Let's do someone who's played club hockey, serves as an e-bug for an NHL team.
I had ACHA e-bug, was thinking about it. Good pick, Herm. Fitzy, over to you.
Love the women's Adrian Bulldogs. Was rooting for them last year and they pulled it off, but I'm going Liberty Women's D1 is going to return to glory and win the national title this year. Don't know if they're going to rattle off, what was it, like 6 in a row that they had going or something like that, but they're going to win it this year. Next one, a school that's never won a national title wins this year. Any level.
Oh, I like that one. That'll be one that would be fun to check off if it happens.
Are we saying ACHA specifically or AAU? Because there's only been 3 national championships for AAU.
Yeah, no, we'll go ACHA. It could be men's, women's. I feel like we'll give that. I feel like it's kind of tough, so we'll go either one.
Fitzy's got a prediction for women's 1. I've got a prediction for women's 2, and it's that Sue's running it back once again. The Sioux Cougars are going to be at the top of the mountain for the women's 2 division.
If we're making predictions on things that happen every year, Sioux and Liberty, easy bets right there.
Death, taxes, and Sioux hockey.
Collins, what do you got for us?
I'm shocked nobody mentioned this. I had this on my board and completely forgot about it. But I'm going to say a goalie has an 80-plus save game.
Oh, had a couple of those last year. Had a couple of those last year, so I would look forward to seeing a couple more this year. Let's see, what do I have? Oh, you know what? They just did the graphic. We talked about it a couple episodes ago, but they just came out with the graphic for the Duke-Vanderbilt game. We had this happen last year. I'm going to predict it happens again, but I'm going to say 4,000-plus at an outdoor game in Charlotte. And then I'm going to double down here with the outdoor games. I'm going to get both sides of the story here, but there are so many of these every year, and I know where Collins sits on this one, but I'm going to say outdoor game gets canceled due to warm weather. Two sides to every story there. The outdoor games are fun, but sometimes Mother Nature has other plans.
That's a lock. That will happen. But for my next pick, I think Navy's going to sing second 30 minutes from home.
Stole it right from out underneath me. I was worried about doing the back-to-back outdoor picks, and then I was like, I don't know if anyone's thinking about Navy. I literally had Navy sing second. Collins, I'm with you. I don't think they're getting beat that close to home for the third year in a row.
Nah, I mean, especially at Capital One Arena, like, you know, on Army-Navy football weekends, like, that's going to be a treat, and hopefully we get to be there for that.
I'm going to go with a social media classic within the world of club hockey. Give me a marriage proposal.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one. Love is always in the air at club hockey games, all right? You think about the players playing club hockey. How about their significant others, okay? Nobody loves it more than the guys playing, and then you got the boyfriends and the girlfriends going to the games too. So, you know, love is always in the air. Love that one, Herm. Fitzy, over to you for 2.
I picked them last year, and they took me to the promised land. We're going to run it back, the Tar Heels, Jersey of the Year champs again. Second one will go, I think the fans are going to love this one. We're going to have a dog drops the ceremonial puck at some point. This excludes like Georgia Bulldogs, any other school that's actually bringing out a dog normally to the games. We'll limit it to, I don't know, I guess it's kind of niche. We can go men's and women's for that.
I don't know if we've ever had that happen. So that's a bold prediction. I don't even think, yeah, you need to specify if it's men's, women's, ACHA, or AAU.
Fitzy, I won't pick it, so I can say now, but I did have on mine a mascot ceremonial puck drop. UNLV brought out some service dogs, I think, against Minot State last year. I think maybe I'm misremembering that, because I think they also had a promo where the indoor lacrosse guys, the Desert Dogs, came to the game as well. So maybe I'm getting those confused, but that's a good one, Fitz. Fitz, what did you get for your second pick?
I'll type it in. It was that North Carolina repeats as the Jersey champs.
All right, I got the gimme of all gimmies right here. Give me the ACHA hockey account tweeting about Van Halen at Nationals.
That's a classic.
I was going to say something about War, but I feel like that's, I mean, it happens. The playlist never changes. I'm going to say there's going to be an actual brawl at the Backyard Brawl. Those two schools hate each other. I don't know. It could be the end of, you know, somebody's season, but I don't know. I think tempers could flare.
I mean, we'll know pretty quickly if that one happens or doesn't happen. Opening night at the bank in Wheeling. Now the pressure is on because I feel like I was saving stuff for the end, and now I'm looking at the board with only two picks left in my name here as we get into the eighth and ninth round. All right, this is a niche one. I think it'll get some play. One of these episodes, we're going to log on to here, and we're going to check the standings and just be like, what the heck? But I have kid from school we've never heard of leads the country in points. A little bit of a niche pick, but anytime you check, you know, early October, there's some team out in the Midwest that's played 12 games already, and they got a guy with like 46 points into the year. So that's what I'm throwing out there. To close things out, I had this one on my board. It gets the job done. It's a little specific. I know Collins kind of just went in this direction here, but I was saving it for my last pick. Saw it firsthand in person. These games at Bird Arena get out of hand late when the Bobcats are up big. I'm going to go Brawl at Bird.
That's a fair pick. We saw it last year. And
I like your odds on that one.
I think the boosters will appreciate that pick.
I think I'm going to go for one that I thought was going to get taken much earlier, but didn't, because I realized that we were all being a little bit more general and less specific. I'm going to say Adrian Repeats.
All right. A lot of familiar champions in the mix here, but I think that's a safe one as well. Herm, closing it out. Last lap here.
I am going to continue my gimmick into this next season of being the ECHA's biggest hater, apparently. No ECHA team will make it past round one at M1 Nationals.
I mean, when is the last time an ECHA team won in the first round of Nationals?
No clue, but ECHA first round exits are a tradition like no other.
I would say it's got to be a Navy victory at some point. It's got to be the last team to do it. Fitzy, the last pick of this draft, who are you going with?
This one's kind of personal, so if it's not allowed, I got backups, but we're going to go. I've met Murph in person. I've met Herm in person. Have yet to meet the Mr. Aiden Collins in person. So at some point before the season ends, I meet Aiden.
Wow. I mean, I think that's a fair pick. I think that's a great one to wrap it up with.
That is a great one. Maybe I got to get out there to make it happen. Go out to Chicago. Maybe we go to the Chicago Classic, all of us. Why not?
I'll just pay for your flight so I can check it off my bingo board.
I'm impressed with the selections here. I think I feel like I mismanaged my draft later in the stages. It's hard. I didn't realize how many picks I had left here. Maybe regretting the double outdoor picks back to back. But I think we got some pretty good bingo boards here.
Can I give a couple of my honorable mentions that I didn't go with really quick?
Yeah, yeah, we can rattle off some honorable mentions. Fitzy, why don't you you go first? What do you got for honorable mention?
I had someone chirps club hockey in the comments of any of our posts. I disagree with the rankings at some point.
I had that on my board as well. Insert team name here gets offended by first computer ranking.
And then one more was that I have a 750 or better correct percentage for game of the week picks.
Anything above 50 is respectable in this department. Herm, anything left on your sheet?
Yeah, player loses two skate blades in one game, and then Cock Hockey partners with Romantic Depot to get merchandise sold.
Just giving out business tips on this pod. Collins, what do you got?
I got a couple. Let's see. I had a College Hockey South team wins the Natty. An AAU team jumps ship to the ACHA or vice versa. UCO makes the D1 final. Hope returns to the top. School gets a rink on campus. Random team breaks the internet with a jersey, or like random school you never heard of.
Herm took it right off the jump with the rink malfunctions, but I had Zamboni breaking down, power outage. I had AAU team beats ACHA team. I went with, I feel like the harder of the two, I went with the ACHA team beating NCAA Division III team. I had Sports Center top 10 on here. Fitzy went with ESPN, so I didn't go there. I had Midnight Sellout. I mean, that's kind of a free space with these midnight games at Liberty, and you know, Niagara does them now too. And of course, you can't forget about Kentucky. I had ACHA team gets a lead against NCAA D1 team. I know that's kind of like a meh pick, but I mean, I could see a game where, you know, we're tuning in and all of a sudden UNLV's up, you know, 1-0 over Lindenwood or something like that. I think that'd be fun. Some more niche ones. I had Syracuse makes Eschel playoffs in what could be the final year of the ESCHL. I think this is a huge year for the boys at Cuse, and I think they would love to be in the playoffs at the end of the year. I had new coach gets hired mid-season. Sometimes you need a new leader in the locker room, and we'll see teams get a new coach at the start of the second semester. Team without black reveals black alternate jersey. The old black for black sakes jersey, as they call it at UniWatch. It drives people nuts when you get a team that doesn't have black in their color scheme and they're dropping a black third jersey. This one might as well have been a free space, but I had Chipotle fundraiser, you know, whether they're getting ready for nationals or, you know, trying to get that third jersey. Player drives Zamboni between periods. Light falls from ceiling. And I had Indiana going back to nationals because I think that's really difficult to do. I know they've been the last 3 years, but now you got a coaching change. And, you know, you saw it last year at UMass. They won the Natty and then didn't qualify for nationals the following year. So it's very hard to do. So those are some of my more niche predictions there. But I'm curious what people will think. I'm sure the comment section will be loaded with stuff that we missed. But I think we got a lot of the good stuff here.
I'm pretty excited to see where this goes. Hopefully somebody's able to clear out their board, or we just all look like idiots and none of us clear out our board.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple nationals predictions here we might be waiting on come March. So certainly be exciting. But I mean, that kind of wraps up our predictions portion of the show. Like we said, we got one ACHA game this week. Herm, noticed you attached some news about CCM here that might be worthwhile in the club hockey world.
Yeah, Rick Westhead is a pretty defining voice within the hockey world, and he reported that CCM's owner is going to be approaching a sale pretty soon. Private equity took over and just has absolutely turned a crazy profit. The line that troubled me at the very end of his post was that industry source tells me that the price of skates and hockey equipment may increase significantly under the new owners. And that goes for Bauer and True as well, who may be exploring sales off of the heels of this figure that sets the standard within the market. Wanted to talk with you guys about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I went to the grocery store today and I just needed like four things. And I feel like they rang me up good there. And it's like, no matter where you do your shopping, that happens. And it's same thing in the hockey world. The part that people talk about a lot is just, if you want this game to grow, it has to be accessible at the younger levels. Like, no parent wants to be spending $3,000 just to outfit their kid in safe equipment. I would love to see the tides turn and have hockey be more affordable, but you know, that's a complaint by people in Canada here that why they're losing to the US and Finland and Sweden and the World Juniors is hockey is just not as affordable in Canada as it once was. So I think that's going to be the big takeaway from something like this.
But yeah, with the whole Canada thing, it's like, one, not only the price of the equipment, but two, the price of coaching has just gone through the roof. To play Peewee in large metropolitan areas in Ontario, you're looking at sometimes upwards of 10K on the goalie aspect of it too. Like, I remember probably when I was in eighth grade, like the CCM Premier pads, like the first round of the Premier brand under CCM dropped, and I was like, oh my God, these are the greatest things ever. And I think a full set was right around 2000, 2500, something like that. And then, you know, for a Lefebvre made pad, and then you look today at True, a similar pad, like you're looking at $5,000 just for glove blocker and pads. And then not to mention too, the $800, $900 chest protector, pants, $1,000 skates. Like, it's getting ridiculous. And, you know, just to kind of echo off Murph, like, you know, this has got to become a far more accessible game, not only in terms of pricing, but also I think rink accessibility too. I mean, you look at areas in the South and you look, you know, or like around here in Baltimore, we've got, I think, right around four or five rinks within an hour, and two of them are just absolutely just dumps. And then, you know, the other two are great, but the ice time's expensive. And the cost of ice at those rinks is like $200 for an hour. Like, it's ridiculous. I think it actually might be way more than that, but yeah, something's got to change.
Herm, is there anything we missed in that? I know you wanted to bring it forward to kind of have that discussion.
It's so disappointing, truly, that at a systemic level, there's such a degree of inequality when it comes to hockey. I understand that it's predicated on the fact that hockey itself requires more resources than globally popular sports. People talk about growing the game and things like that. Barriers when it comes to equipment is so sad. It's so unbelievably expensive as it is. You guys have already echoed that sentiment. People are going to get priced out of playing hockey because of this. It's disappointing because it will widen the wealth gap even more within the sport, because some people will not blink twice at paying these prices, and some people will never lace up skates because of these prices. And that's going to be detrimental in the long term for the game that we all love.
Yeah, I think it's well said. And if there's any part of this that ties back into the ACHA and AAU college hockey and kind of what our mission is, I think I would echo the stress of the parents is, I have to pay this amount of money if I want my kid to be good at hockey. And I think our whole thing is, no matter where you go to university or college, there is a place where you can play hockey. And so I think if that can like lighten the stress load of parents, like, hey, there's more important things than him getting that scholarship or him playing at this Division III team or this NCAA Division I team. It's, hey, man, we're just here to enjoy the game and have an experience like no other. But I think you can't even get to that point, like Herm said, if at the grassroots level, if the stuff isn't affordable. So I think we're kind of going down a slippery slope and thinking like what could happen down the road. But I mean, we've seen it the last couple of years. It's trending in that direction. So certainly hope that's not the case. But we'll wrap the show up and here. I mean, appreciate you guys tuning in. Let us know what you think of the bingo boards, because we'd love to get some reactions on social media from what people think, and be sure to comment and let us know what we forgot to include. But thank you so much for tuning in once again, and we're so excited for the upcoming ACHA and AAU college hockey season.
See you, boys.